Well, good morning, everyone. What a blessing it is to be here with you today, have the opportunity to study God's Word. So if you could open your Bible to John chapter 8, we're going to cover verses 37 through 59 today, a lot of content. So with that being said, make sure you have a copy of the Word of God because you're going to want to be looking down at it. We're going to go through these verses, and really that will be your outline, straight down through 22 verses today. So you really want to be looking at the Word of God. But let me pray, and then we'll read all of those verses, try to understand them together. Father God, we come before you just ready and willing to learn from your Word. God, Scripture is such an incredible gift that you have given us. You have blessed us with this revelation of yourself. And God, as Jesus Christ came to earth to be the revelation of God, God here in the flesh, I pray that we would take seriously these words from him. God, as we look in this passage and we see bold truth coming from Jesus Christ, I pray that we would just see how loving, how gracious, how kind he is as he allows sinners to see themselves as sinners. God, help each and every one of us to recognize that we can't do it apart from you. That God, we are sinners, that we are in need of recognition of sin so that we can call out to a Savior. A Savior who is gracious and loving and inviting, and his name is Jesus. And so we worship you here today because you are worthy of all praise and all honor and glory as you and you alone saved us. So we thank you for that. Amen. John chapter 8, starting in verse 37, and we will read to the end of the chapter. It says this. Jesus speaking, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, because I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and he was glad. Then the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you somehow seen Abraham?' And Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Last week, we began looking at this conversation between Jesus and some claiming to believe. This is a group of Jews who are there present, and they are listening to the words of Jesus, saying they believe in what Jesus is saying, but Jesus doesn't believe their belief, essentially. And we've covered this for several weeks, talking through this conversation, and we will finish that conversation here today with a lot of information. But remember, we are still on the last day of the Feast of Booths. Jesus has told them that he is the light of the world, and he's invited them to follow, no longer walk in darkness. And then he's had this great conversation with these Jews. He tells them that they're going to die in their sins because of their rejection, their own unbelief. Very hard truths that we've talked about. Then the text reveals to us that some begin to believe or say that they believe, and that starts this conversation where Jesus says, it's not enough to just say you believe, you must obey. True belief leads to life change. True belief is seen in your obedience. And so we've been discussing that and picking that part, or picking that statement apart, or that idea that true believers obey God's word, and true belief changes your lifestyle. And then last week, as we really hammered that apart, Jesus illustrated his point by giving them the idea of you're either a son or a slave. And remember, they're calling themselves children of Abraham. And so Jesus sets up the picture by saying, yeah, you know what? By blood, and that's what he'll confirm in today's text, by blood you are children of Abraham. But guess what? Abraham had two sons. One was a slave. The other was a son that received the inheritance. And so you guys want to call yourselves children of Abraham physically, but spiritually, you're more like Ishmael. You're not of God. God can't use you. You don't have real beliefs. You are slaves. And really that idea that Jesus sets up, that the Jews claim to be children of Abraham, and when Jesus illustrates it, helping us understand that you're either a son or a slave, we realize that everybody in existence, everybody on planet Earth, every human being that has ever lived fits into that category. You are either a slave to sin or a son of God. You are either dead in your sins or alive in Jesus Christ. There's no in between. You can't ride the fence. You're for God or against God. And he makes it very clear that these people are not sons of God. They're slaves to sin. Which are you? Because what you want to be is a son of God. That's the only way that you find eternity. That's the only way that you find righteousness, life, right? Eternal life. The opposite is miserable. Eternal separation from God is not what anybody wants. Now in our text today, as these Jews claim to be sons of Abraham, and even sons of God, as we'll see it, Jesus reveals to them that they're not sons of God, nor spiritually sons of Abraham, but they are sons of Satan, is what he says in verse 44. Now, we've already learned through the book of John that they hate Jesus not because of Jesus' deeds or what Jesus does, but because of what Jesus says, what comes out of his mouth. Right? We've seen that over and over and over again throughout the text. And today's text is no different at all. Right? I mean, they love the works of Jesus, the miracles, the healings, the feedings, the food, like the stuff that comes from it. They're not upset about that at all, but they do get frustrated with Jesus' message. And when you think about what his message is, he's calling these people sinners over and over again. He tells these people that they can't save themselves. They need a savior. And that's what he's here for, right? He keeps inviting them to follow him, inviting them to come to him. You can't save yourself. You need help. He's telling these people to repent. Change your lifestyle. You're not good enough the way you are. The self-righteousness that you achieve in your keeping of the law will not get you in right standing with God. And they hate that message. Well, the same thing's true today. We're going to go through this text and see it. But they're so unhappy with Jesus by the end of it that they pick up stones to kill him. And through this text, we're going to see Jesus is going to call them murderers, liars, deaf, children of Satan. I mean, this is bold talk coming from Jesus Christ, and they do not like his message. But one of the things I want you to see is how loving this is. We're not going to hammer this point throughout the text, but Jesus sounds harsh in this text. But the reality is, this is the love of Jesus Christ. He is attacking the self-righteous attitude that these Jews have. They think they're okay because they're children of Abraham, right? They're holding on to some lineage instead of pouring out the fact that they need saved by a Savior. And so Jesus calls them right on the thing that's hindering them from calling out to the Savior. That's what love is. He goes right after their false securities, their self-righteousness. And I want you to understand that. We need to do this. When you evangelize and when you are training people to follow Jesus Christ and when you're making disciples and you're breaking down the word, you always need to use the word of God to convict people of their sin, but you want to show them their sin. You are not helping somebody by making them comfortable in their wrongs. That's not love. You need to help them see the problem so they can call out to the one that heals, to the one that fixes, to the one that saves. Let's go through this text. And really, we're going to have to move somewhat quickly, but let's learn it well together as we go down through this. Starting in verse 37, Jesus says this, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants." Now, this is in reference to verse 33 that we covered last week. Back up to verse 33, where they say to Jesus, look, they answer him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." So what we're talking here is physical. They're saying, listen, Jesus, we come from the line of Abraham. We were born through the loins of Abraham. Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, and you trace the line down, and then you'll find us, right? Our bloodline is Jewish. Our bloodline is the bloodline of Abraham. And so here in verse 37, Jesus confirms that. You know what? You guys got something right. Look what he says. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants." So he's acknowledging that it's true, you do come from the line of Abraham physically. And you know what? What's special about that? Well, God, in his sovereignty, chose Abraham. I mean, God chose that man and that nation because God wanted to. If you go study it out, it's incredible. There's really no reason for God to choose Abraham other than he decided to. He had to choose somebody. He needed to pick a nation. The Savior's going to come from God's chosen race and God's line. And so God chooses a man named Abraham. If you study out where Abraham comes from and, you know, the location that his family was from, good chance to believe they served lots of false gods and different people that would be there. And so we have no information about Abraham other than God calls him, chooses him, and Abraham obeys. He obeys Almighty God when God sovereignly chose him. So this is God's nation. That's true. And now here these Jews come and they say, well, wait, we come from Abraham. We are of that nation. And Jesus says, very good. You understand your history, that you have the blood of Abraham. You've been passed down through that line. But essentially what he's saying is, so what? If you're counting on that for salvation, man, you got another thing coming. If you think just because you come from the line of Abraham, you're in right standing with God, boy, you're sadly mistaken. And look, he continues, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. See what he says? Yes, I get it. You come from Abraham physically, but you know what? That is spiritually useless. Your actions do not match that of Abraham's spiritually. So just because you got the same blood running through your veins, just because your lineage says you come from there, doesn't mean that you're living and acting in accordance with the way that he lived, right? Your birth, the family you come through, does you no good spiritually for salvation. Now, Jesus is saying this to a bunch of Jews, but you know what? His message is so needed in today's society. I don't care who your parents were, or your grandparents, or your great-grandparents. That you will not earn salvation because of the family that you've been born into. I don't care how long your family has been part of the church, or they've grown up in the church, or they've been influential in the church. You cannot ride into heaven on the coattails of mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or anyone. And Jesus makes it really clear. Yeah, physically you're from Abraham, spiritually that's useless because your actions do not match that of Abraham. These people want to kill Jesus because they reject his words, so their actions make them murderers. Not children of Abraham, but murderers. 38, Jesus says, I speak what I have seen with my Father. This is important. Jesus is setting up the big statement in verse 44 once we get there. But look what he says. I speak what I've seen with my Father. So these Jews reject his message. That's what he just said in 37. You want to kill me because my words, the things I speak, have no place in you. Well, I speak what I've seen from my Father. So when they reject Christ's message, they are rejecting the Father's message. You are rejecting revelation from Almighty God. You are rejecting the chosen being that God has sent here to reveal himself to you. In fact, you are rejecting very God in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And so technically, it's in these Jews' self-righteousness that they hate the message of God. Christ says, I only speak what the Father wants. We've seen that over and over again through the book of John, right? He only goes where the Father wants him to go. He only says what the Father wants him to say. He only does what the Father wants him to do. Well, here he's saying, if you guys hate and reject my words, you're directly hating and rejecting the Father's words. You are not of God. See, I speak what I've seen from my Father, 38, you do what you have seen with your Father. So there's a contradiction here, right? If Jesus is saying, I come from God and everything I do is from Father God, and you guys hate and reject that, you're not of God. And he's going to plainly state that. But you do what you have seen with your Father. And so what's their desire? He's already told them. He's already revealed what their desire is in 37. You seek to kill me. So you do what you've learned from your father, and what you want to do, the desire within you, what you're aiming for is murder. And so your actions are murder, which means your father is a murderer. So you don't come from the father who's the author of life. Your father is somebody else, somebody who's a murderer. Are you seeing how clearly Jesus is revealing to us that your behavior is what reveals your position? I mean, we've been hammering this point through John chapter 8. We've talked about it for several weeks here, and that's okay. It is such a necessary point. Your behavior matters. The way you live your life is important. God cares about the content of your living. Verse 39. They say, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, in verse 33, they said, we are children of Abraham. And Jesus confirms that in verse 37. Yes, physically, you're children of Abraham. Now, when we come here to verse 39, and they say, Abraham is our father, Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. So we're not talking physically anymore. Now we're talking spiritually. As they identify themselves once again as coming from Abraham, Jesus says, spiritually, you are nothing like Abraham. That's why he says, if you were like Abraham, you would behave like Abraham, right? Abraham is our father, and Jesus says, you, if you were Abraham's children, if, there's a big if, by the way, if, not since you are Abraham's children, but if, because your actions don't match that of Abraham's, you're not like Abraham. You're the way you live reveals who you live for, right? And Abraham didn't respond to me the same way that you are responding to me. Let's talk about that. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, there's a really good picture, I think, that helps us understand what Jesus is talking about here. With Abraham's reaction to God, and specifically Jesus Christ, right? Because what happens in Genesis chapter 18? Does anybody know? Let's look at it very quickly. Genesis chapter 18, and this is right before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you guys remember that story. Some visitors come, and they go to Abraham. Well, one of the visitors that comes to Abraham is who? It's Jesus Christ. It's pre-incarnate Jesus Christ present talking with Abraham. Look at Genesis 18:1. It says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Who's the Lord? This is literally talking about pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. Jesus showed up before Abraham. Abraham gets to have a conversation with Jesus. And it says, so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent with Sarah and said, quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, and he took a tender and good calf, and he gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Pre-incarnate Jesus shows up to Abraham, and what does Abraham do? He falls down before him, he worships him, he invites him in, he says, let me feed you, let me wash your feet, let me worship you. Total different response from Abraham to the Jews that we're talking to back here in John chapter 8. Abraham invites him in. Abraham makes him a meal. Abraham fellowships and worship with him. These Jews don't receive Jesus at all. See, in John chapter 8, they reject instead of receive. In John chapter 8, they want to kill, not feed. You see the difference between the way Abraham treated Jesus and these Jews are treating Jesus? And the point is very clear. Once again, you are sons of the one whose work you do. Your works prove your whereabouts spiritually. Your living shows your lineage spiritually. Who you come from is clear based on how you act and how you live. And look at verse 40. He made it very clear. Abraham didn't do the works that you do, but you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. See, Abraham didn't seek to kill me when he heard the truth. Abraham accepted. Abraham worshiped. Spiritually, you're not children of Abraham at all. Spiritual children of Abraham are defined in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Spiritual children of Abraham do the same thing that Abraham did at God's message. They believe God's message. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 says just that. Those who have faith are sons of Abraham. Right? That's why we have that kid's song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and it makes sense for people like us to sing that song, even though we don't come from the line of Abraham. We don't have Abraham's blood within us. But we're sons of Abraham through faith. See, your content reveals your character or the person that you are. And so Abraham believed God's message. Those that believe by faith, the only way to salvation, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So when you believe, you're a child of Abraham. And these people want to kill, doing the opposite of Abraham. Look at verse 41. They go even a step further. These Jews say, or Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Now, see, look, they've gone even beyond Abraham as our father, which spiritually means the same thing as what they're saying here, but they've come in and they've said, no, we have one Father, and our Father is God. They are claiming to be of God, the children of God. What a ridiculous statement. I mean, look at this. As they claim to be children of God, they throw a jab at God in front of them. Look at the statement again. We were not born of fornication. What do you think they mean by that? Remember the beginning of Jesus' life on earth? He's born to a virgin girl. And Joseph, the righteous betrothed to Mary, he decides, okay, this is confusing, and so I'm going to divorce Mary in secret, not to put her to shame, because as Joseph knows, I didn't have relations with her, and she somehow ended up pregnant, so she must have cheated, right? Well, then an angel shows up and delivers the message to Joseph, hey, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. God did this. She is a virgin, and God is making the Messiah come through her. It's an incredible thing. You'll call his name Jesus. He's going to save people from their sins, right? This is the gospel. This is the good news. And so you have surrounding the birth of Jesus this very unique and almost unbelievable. You got to believe it by faith, right? This is the gospel. Believe the message that is impossible from human standards, but God does it. And what's going around in Judea and Samaria and some of those local places, right? Well, Jesus is now, 33 years old, right in that range. He's going to die 6 months from now. And so as he's walking around on the planet, what we get this jab from them right here. We were not born of fornication. See, they don't believe the way Jesus came. They believe there's some fornication scandal. Somebody did something they weren't supposed to. He's born because of a sin relationship when he wasn't. So at the same time as they claim God as their father, they throw a jab at the Savior and prove that they don't believe who he is or how he got there. Sad reality. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if, that big if, once again, if God were your father, and that's a very important word, because just by saying if God were your father, Jesus is telling them that God isn't their father. Right? He would say, because God is your father, if he believed that their hearts were set and fixed on him, if they were believers, but they're not believers. So he says, if God were your father, which definitely confirms and tells us that they are not followers of him. But he says, if God were your father, you would love me. Remember, they want to kill him. He says, if God was your father, you would love me, for I proceedeth forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. If you are children of God, you accept and you love the Son of God. No exceptions. No way around it. You can't be a child of God and reject Jesus. You can't be a child of God and say you're okay with Jesus, but live nothing like Jesus and live in opposition to Jesus. Children of God accept the Son of God. It's so clear. That's what he's saying here. And so listen, when you love the Son of God, you love the Son of God's words. It's so clear. It's so simple. I love my wife. And when my wife writes me a little note, I don't say, I'll get to that eventually. I read it right away. And then I keep it. Right? Like I enjoy those. I don't say, I'll read half of it. Or I'll read it for exactly 30 seconds and then I'm done. I did my duty for the day. I want to know what she said because I love her and I value her word, what she says. It's the same thing with the Son of God. If you love the Son, you will love the Son's word. And how do you know if you love the Son's word? Well, you obey it. You follow it. You fill your mind with it. And that shows us your faith and your acceptance. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, back to Abraham. Abraham believed God's word, and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, he believed, he loved the Savior, he loved Jesus because he believed the message of Jesus, and then he did it, he followed, he acted on it. So let me just paint this as simply as possible. How do we know if someone is a Christian or not? They love the Savior. There's no other way around it. You cannot be a child of God if you don't love Jesus. So you got to love the Savior. Well, then how do we know if somebody loves the Savior? They love his word. They're excited about the revealed word of the Savior. They care about what Jesus says. And so how do we know if somebody loves the word? Well, they hear it. They believe it, and they live it. They aim to do it. The content of their living reveals who they are, their character, if they love Jesus or not. And Jesus thinks this is pretty simple. Look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? And then he tells them, he answers, because you're not able to listen. See, this is back to that sad truth we talked about a couple weeks ago. These Jews that Jesus is talking to, they have no ears to hear. They are deaf. They are spiritually deaf. They have rejected the truth from Jesus Christ over and over and over again. They've seen the miracles. They've heard the statements. They've heard the invitations. And they've rejected again and again and again. This is why Jesus tells these people that they'll die in their sins earlier in this chapter. because they just continue to reject the truth. And once the full truth is given and you understand the revelation of God but reject it, you're in trouble. The book of Hebrews talks about that. There's nothing left for you, right? Like, once you get it, Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God. He came. He died on the cross to save us. I can't save myself. I need Him to save me. And I understand that, but I reject it, and I'll continue to live my way. There's nothing else we can give you. The gospel message is God's message. And it's such a sad truth whenever people reject it over and over and over again. And they get to the point where they're spiritually deaf like these people who have no ears to hear. Verse 44 is where Jesus now says it, 44 and 45. He says, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do." Right? You Jews want to kill me. Well, he was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. See what Jesus says there? He says, it's clear, you guys want to kill me, which means you're of your father, the devil. Satan is a murderer. And so the fact that you want to murder me because of the things that I'm saying reveals the heart of who you serve, right? Or who your father is. You're not children of God. You're sons of Satan. You're slaves to sin because you do the same things that Satan does. He's a murderer. You're a murderer. And then he says, you want more proof? Satan's a liar. And you know why you don't believe what I say? Because what I say is truth. So as you reject the truth, it's because you are of your father the devil, right? He's a liar. And so you believe the lies and you reject the truth because you are followers of evil. You're not of God. So sad. As Jesus delivers this hard truth to them, he lovingly still, he says, you're spiritually deaf. Yet he still tries to prove with reason to them how clear it is. Verse 46, he says, which of you convicts me of sin? I mean, this is coming right after. Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil, right, who is a liar and a murderer. Think about it. The first thing we see Satan doing in Genesis chapter 3 is lying, right? He goes to the woman, he goes to Eve, and he deceives her. Did God really say that? Right? He tricks her into thinking, hey, you know what? God didn't say that. God doesn't want you to eat from that tree because he knows if you eat from that tree, you'll be like God. God is not saving you from something. He's withholding something good from you. He's a liar. And you say, well, how is he a murderer? Well, his lie led to the death of all mankind. He tricks Eve into breaking God's law, and every human being in the history of the world has been born dead into sin because of it. He's a liar and a murderer. And as he says this, all right, you guys are just like him because you don't believe the truth. He goes on to show, listen, this is simple. Which of you convicts me of sin? He's saying, you don't believe me, but why not? Like, look at my life. What have I possibly done to discredit my message? That's an amazing invitation by Jesus Christ. Have I done anything that breaks the law, that makes me not in good standing with Almighty God, that would go against the way that I say, hey, your content is of Satan, but me, I live of the Father. Who wants to argue? And nobody does, by the way. They have nothing on Jesus. They never do. Nobody in history can make that claim except for Jesus Christ. I certainly wouldn't say that. You guys would be able to discredit me so quickly. But Jesus says, what have I done? Then he goes on in 46 to say, if I tell you the truth, right? Since you can't convict me, why don't you just believe me? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. See, Jesus makes it so clear. The truth is the truth. I speak the truth. You don't accept the truth because you are not of God. He says, since I have given you no reason to not believe, yet you continually reject, it shows that you are spiritually deaf. It shows that you are dead in your sin. It shows that you are not of God. You are of the devil. You're deaf to the truth. Now, the point has been made. Jesus very clearly has proven his point. You are not spiritually children of God. You are spiritually children of Satan, and your physical lineage is of no value to you spiritually. Spiritually, who is your father? Are you sons of God or sons of Satan? Slaves to sin. Which one defines you? But the conversation continues. Look at verse 48. It says, then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Do you see the rejection? I mean, Jesus has used such reason with these people. He's made it so clear. Look at my life. Is there any content that discredits my message? No, you can't call me on anything. So either believe me, which is true, or you can't believe me because you're not of God. And instead of accepting or listening or reasoning through it, they instantly go and they accuse Jesus of having a demon. They think Jesus is insane. How many sane demon-possessed people have they experienced, right? Demon possession is not a very sane-looking thing. It's an ugly thing, and so that's the point here. They're taking Jesus, and they're listening to what he's saying, and they're spiritually deaf, so they can't hear what he's saying, and they respond by saying that he is insane and demon-possessed. You are an insane, demon-possessed Samaritan. And this is a pattern with these unbelieving Jews. As we trace through the gospel, we see this over and over again. In Mark chapter 3, verse 22, they accuse Jesus of being of Satan. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, that's the big one that most people know about, where they accuse Jesus of casting out a demon through the power of Satan. Jesus says, you guys don't even make any sense. It's so clear when you go read it. Jesus is like, why would Satan cast out Satan? That don't make any sense. You guys aren't using your brains, right? But they're spiritually deaf. Like, they don't use their brains. In John chapter 10, verse 20, when we get there, they'll say it again. They'll accuse Jesus of having a demon, just like they did right here in John chapter 8. This becomes the common conclusion about Jesus for these Jews. They're not sons of God. They call God Satan. They reject what's right in front of them, what is so clear. I mean, and understand, they are looking at very God in the flesh and saying that he's demon-possessed lunatic. It's so clear, when you reject the Savior, and there's only one way into the good standing with God, through Jesus Christ, the Savior. When you reject the Savior, you show who your Father is. And you show that it's Satan. In verse 49, I love Jesus' response. I just see Jesus being so calm here in this. Jesus answers, I do not have a demon. He calmly reveals the truth. He knows they're going to reject him. He knows that they can't hear him. And he doesn't get all up in arms at their accusation. He just calmly says the truth, right? They gave untruth. Jesus gives the truth. I do not have a demon. But then he goes on to say, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Now, demons don't honor God. Demons don't care about what God the Father wants. And so Jesus is proving his point. I don't have a demon. Listen, I honor God. I honor the Father. Everything I do is for honoring the Father. I go and say and do what he wants me to, so I honor God. You guys dishonor me. Now, If Jesus is of God, and Jesus only does what God the Father wants him to do, and they reject and dishonor Jesus, who are they dishonoring? God the Father. So he makes it very clear, I honor the Father, you don't. I am of God, you are not. Verse 50, he strengthens his argument. I do not seek my own glory. Christ didn't come to glorify himself, right? He came in humility. Who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Taking on the form of a bondservant, being born in the likeness of man, he came to be crucified. He humbly came serving, seeking and saving the lost. That's Jesus Christ. He came in humility. He wasn't seeking his own glory. But then he says, there is one who seeks and judges. See, everything the Father did, or everything Jesus Christ did, wasn't for his own glory. It was for the glory of the Father. It's so clear when you study it and when you see it. But God the Father does seek the glory of Jesus Christ. We see it in the text. He says, I don't seek my own glory, but there is one who seeks glory and who judges. God the Father seeks and validates the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Father will judge these people. Now think about it. When did God glorify Jesus Christ? When did God validate the glory of Jesus? He does it at his baptism and at his ascension. Both. He says audibly, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So it's clear. Jesus didn't seek his own glory. It was revealed. It was clear. God the Father gave it. He said who it is. And these Jews, they reject Jesus, and Jesus says, God the Father will glorify me in time, and God will judge you in time. You want to talk about who's of God? I am God. And God will, it'll be revealed, and you'll be judged. No question about it. Verse 51, maybe the best verse in all this. Jesus comes and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. This is incredible. Listen, that verse 51 is an invitation to life. How many times does Jesus need to invite these people? Come. I am water. If you thirst, come. I'll quench your soul spiritually. I am light. You don't have to walk in darkness. Come follow me, right? They reject, they reject, they reject, they reject, they reject. And even in their rejection, the loving Savior, who's revealing that they're blind, that they're deaf, that they can't hear, that they're of Satan, lovingly gives them this invitation. Look what he says. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. See, he says, believe the content of what I'm telling you. Start living it. Show that you love God by loving the Savior. And show that you love the Savior by loving the Savior's word and following that and obeying that and living in that, right? Follow what I'm saying you, what I'm telling you, and have life. I love that. Jesus wants to save these people. And the same invitation is open to us. Listen, you can live by accepting and following the word of God. Now, this pattern repeats itself, right? The Jews give some nonsense, something that's not true. Jesus gives the truth, and then he invites them. Let's look at it again, verse 52 and 53. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? See, once again, they say, you have a demon. Now we know that you have a demon. Same exact thing as verse 48. How can you say there's no death when Abraham is dead and when the prophets are all dead, right? And you see, they're once again focused on physical while Jesus is talking about spiritual. This happens so often throughout the text. Their only focus is on right now life, this temporary life. They have no view of eternal life. And they think, listen, they think that they are for God and that Jesus is of Satan. How can you say that, right? You're of Satan. You have a demon. But Abraham, well, he did what God wanted and he died. We'll just continue to live in our self-righteous way. We're fine. That's their mindset here, as once again, they accuse Jesus of having a demon. And Jesus lovingly responds again in verse 54 and 55. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I do keep his word." You see, Jesus lovingly responds with the truth again. You say I have a demon, but the reality is I don't have a demon. I know God and I love God because I do the will of God. You keep claiming that you're of God, but God honors me, the Son. I am God. That's Jesus' statement. He's saying, I'm from God, sent by God, doing the will of God. I am the revelation of God. And you say you're of God, but you reject me. So you cannot be of God. But Jesus very clearly says, I do know him. Why? Because I keep his word. I live it. I show it. I reveal it. And then verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. This is another invitation by Jesus Christ. See what he's saying? Your father Abraham, he didn't reject. He rejoiced at the revelation of God. You come from the line of Abraham physically, well, be like Abraham spiritually. Accept the message of God. Think about it. What is Abraham known for? He believed God. God comes and he says, I'm going to make a great... Abraham, go. Where? Doesn't matter. Just go. And what's Abraham do? He believes God and he goes. And then God comes and he says, hey, I know you're super old and you've never been able to have any kids, but I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And what does Abraham do? He believes God and he holds on to that promise and he rejoices in it and he celebrates in it. He believes the revelation of God. Now here Jesus gives this invitation to these Jews. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it and he was glad. Listen, do what Abraham did. Accept and rejoice in me, God's revelation. Abraham didn't get offended at God's message. He rejoiced in God's message. These Jews, they're not rejoicing in God's message. They're offended at God's message and they want to kill him. They respond with mockery again in verse 57. You are not yet 50 and you've seen Abraham? Mockery. I think this verse is so funny. I literally had a conversation this week with somebody who was telling me about their children, and their children are like late 50s. And they're telling me about their children's life, and then they went on to say, you know what? What year were you born, Jake? I thought, your kids are late 50s. I'm 33. Like, we're not even close in age. But I just responded with what year I was born. And we continued in our conversation. But same idea. Jesus is like 33. And they're saying, you're not yet 50. He's not even close to 50. But their point is, how could you possibly know what Abraham rejoiced in when you're not even 50 years old? You're a young buck, right? You're only 30-some. They refuse to hear him by just continually coming up with excuses and continually rejecting and having... They want nothing to do with what Jesus is actually saying. And then Jesus says it, verse 58. Listen. He responds to their untruth with his truth. Before Abraham was, I am. He responds with truth, but listen to what his truth is. He has just claimed to be very God. Before Abraham was, I am. Exodus chapter 4. Moses stands before a bush that is on fire, and it's not burning up because it's God talking to him through the bush, right? Take off your sandals because the place you're standing is holy ground. And who does God reveal himself to be to Moses? I am. It's the name for God. The Jews took, I am was the highest name for God that they had. It doesn't get any higher than that. And here Jesus stands right before them and he uses it exactly. Before Abraham was, I am. And get it, I am. That means I always was and that I always will be. There's nothing I can compare myself to. I am. I love it because think about this text. Jesus calls them liars and murderers and children of Satan and death. And very clearly calls himself God. I am. And they knew exactly what he meant. Jesus doesn't even have time to go to the next part where he always, listen, after their untruth, he gives truth and an invitation. They don't even give him time to give the invitation. Verse 49 says that they, or 59 says that they took up stones to throw at him. Nope, we get it. He just claimed to be God. That's called blasphemy. Kill him. They want him dead. They reject his message that he's called the murderers in the text. Now it's coming out. They're ready to murder him right here on the spot. They reject, and Jesus retreats. He's gone. He says, you know what? Your hard hearts, your deaf ears, I keep telling you, now you want to kill me? Well, 6 months from now I'll let you, but not right now. He's gone. He retreats. This passage has a very, very sad ending as they reject the message and want to kill Jesus Christ. But that doesn't have to be your ending. These people thought that they believed, right? Remember where the conversation started? All the way back in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. They think they're okay. They think they're accepting the message. But Jesus reveals that there is no obedience in them and therefore reveals that they are not children of God. They are children of Satan. And so very simply, the question is, whose son are you? I never title my messages. I guess if I had to title this one, it'd be, who's your daddy? Right? Whose son are you? Are you a slave to sin or an heir of God, a son of God? Your obedience reveals your acceptance of Jesus Christ. Anybody can say they're a Christian. I heard a statistic this week that said it is up to 70% of people in America that claim to be Christians. You think that's true? There is no way that's true. We wouldn't lock our doors if 70% of America were Christians. But just because they claim it doesn't mean they actually are. Your lifestyle reveals who you actually are. So listen, we don't want you to just believe in God here. We want you to believe that Jesus is the only God. That's the revelation. And this belief, the belief that Jesus is the only God, that's how one is born again. Remember back in John chapter 4, what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born again. How is one born again? Through belief in Jesus Christ. He's the only way. So when you're born again, you get new life in Jesus Christ. So new people need to live a new way. The conduct of your lifestyle reveals if you are a son of God or a slave to sin. Believe it, rejoice in it, live it, worship. It's good stuff. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the truth of the Word of God. I thank you for John's clarity just for how clearly he reveals to us that our conduct, the way we live is important. And God, as John gives us the words of Jesus Christ, I thank you for the Savior who came to do the Father's will and showed us that it's not enough to just claim it, we have to live it. Real faith changes our lives. So help us to have that real life-changing faith and live in such a way that would honor and glorify you. It's your name I pray. Amen.